Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride is going to join us. Also with his new phone line. I have no idea. Okay, I have no idea how to pick up the phone line.
Are you there, Pete?
Are you there, Pete?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome.
I didn't change my number, so B-Dub was able to call me.
Very good, Peter. Sorry about the Rangers last night.
Yeah, we heard he had to dial the first two numbers on the air, so people might know based on the beep-beep what your first two numbers of your phone are, but, you know, we got it.
That's okay. I'll give them to people. It's 1-3, so if you can figure out the rest, you can give me a call. We can talk to you.
It's true.
All right, so you had the opportunity, lucky you, to be out at OTAs yesterday. Before we get into stuff that we're going to, I think, maybe get excited about, who was in the best shape of their lives and who looked like a tub of goo?
Who looked good?
Well, I feel like everyone's in shorts at this point, right? So to me, I felt like everyone looked good. I mentioned this on Twitter. Generally speaking, in these type of camps, the offense is always looking better than the defense because it's a no fear camp. So, you know, the offense can kind of just have its way. If, let's say, for example, you know, you get a pass to somebody and they're 3 yards out, like a Travis Kelce, for example, he's not getting thumped at the goal line with no pads on, and he's just going to walk into the end zone. So a lot of touchdowns, a lot of catches. I felt like for my first look, that would be like the new pass-catching core. I thought they had a pretty good timing for being a completely new group. And, you know, we had talked about this, I believe it was last month, about like Camp Patrick Mahomes. Uh-huh. And it seemed like from a rapport standpoint and really from a timing standpoint, that jumped out to me. And I didn't expect to walk in there and say to myself, wow, the receiver that it looks like he has the best rhythm with is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But I did walk away feeling that way. And to your other point, no tubs of goo right now. Orlando Brown Jr., we know, wasn't in camp. I think that would be the biggest candidate.
Yep.
If someone was going to be out of shape, and of course, he hasn't signed his tender yet. So no look at Orlando Brown at this point.
Did you
no tubs of goo.
That's good. Everybody's in shape. There's always one slug who shows up and he's fat and out of shape. You know, Ryan Sims or whoever the case may be. Justin Ross obviously is already, you know, got everybody excited. Then he makes the catch in practice. Like, what are the odds of him, Pete, making this team?
I think they're low. I mean, I don't know. This is not a popular take with me, just because I've now been out to rookie camp and I've been out to one look at him, and I don't see it. I think he would have to drastically improve and be someone that they just can't leave off the roster for him to make it. And I just think right now it's too much rust. I think the learning curve might be made too high. I think he does have the raw talent. To me, it's a potential practice squad guy that maybe could continue to develop and get stronger. And maybe it's something we're talking about in 2023. The thing that's interesting with Ross, and it's really captivated a lot of Chiefs fans here in late May, and why not? I mean, this guy looked like he was going to be an NFL superstar during his freshman year, but that was 4 years ago, right? I heard you guys talking about Colin Kaepernick, what was it, yesterday, and you're like, well, he hasn't played in 5 years. Well, Justin Ross hasn't shown out to be this NFL potential superstar in that period of time, and I think you're seeing some of that rust. That clip that was on Twitter was just one of the plays. And I look at this wide receiver room, and we know who the top four guys are going to be, right? We know it's going to be Mecole Hardman and Marquez and Juju and Sky Moore if he could get on the field. And so you're looking at two spots because the Chiefs usually keep six receivers. That sixth spot is usually reserved for someone who also plays special teams. And I'm not sure Justin Ross is going to be this four-core special teamer. So he's looking like he's going to have to defeat ten other receivers and look better than them to get one spot. And I just think when you're betting on anyone, it just seems like that percentage is lower than maybe you would wish. Now, I could be completely wrong about this. I don't know. Well, there's a lot of people listening that are like, shut up, Pete. And look, I'll eat it. If he ends up making a 53-man roster, I'll eat it. But at this juncture in May, and there's a lot of time here, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Frankly, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You could stash him on the practice squad for a year because you're going to need wide receivers next year anyway.
Yeah. No, I think there are those developmental players that the Chiefs like. I mean, I it's a deep, deep wide receiver room. And now you can, it just came down, they're keeping the practice squad 16 players, and you could keep six veterans on it now. So it really opens things up for, you know, what would be almost like a AAA for the Royals in a sense in the NFL, where you could kind of just have these guys waiting in the wings. And as we've already seen, that there are injury issues right now in May. I mean, Sky Moore hasn't taken the field in a sense. I know he's coming along, and they're being careful there, but who knows? Injuries happen, and maybe he's in the practice squad and he gets an opportunity and proves everyone wrong. And, or like I said, maybe I'm completely wrong here and I'm not seeing it, and he makes the 53. We'll just have to see as training camp gets nearer and those decisions have to be made.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride joining us here on 610 Sports Radio, our Chiefs insider. Orlando Brown Jr. not at OTAs as expected, hasn't signed the franchise tender. It seems like to me, though, that it's not a lot of cause for concern at this point. It seems as if he needs to get an agent before there could be any signs of progress. The holdup is more so that he doesn't have an agent, right, than any kind of like gap between their numbers.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I don't know if I can really recall around the NFL a situation particularly like this where there's this impending contract. It's very important for the Kansas City Chiefs to figure this out. And the holdup is simply the player, in a sense, refuses to, like, find someone to represent him. And I got to think, because
I mean, I can take care of this, Pete. I mean, just give me the 3%. I'll go talk to Veach and say, just pay this man the money and we call it a day. Like, it's very confusing to me as, like, finding an agent. Then just do it yourself at this point.
Right. Well, what exactly? And you're making the point in a sense for me. He's going to sign a lucrative contract. I know that he wants to be paid top left tackle dollar.
So do I.
I don't see it. I think he needs to find an agent that's going to be honest with him and to kind of tell him, if you want that, you might have to play on this tag. Like, maybe that's the reality as well. But there's got to be a lot of agents that are looking at the contract he's about to sign and saying, no, pick me, pick me. So there's got to be no shortage of suitors in a sense. And we keep looking for updates for this. That was my question to Andy Reid yesterday. You kind of feel bad asking about it because the guy hasn't even signed his contract. So, you know, technically speaking, he's not even under contract at this point. And I think he, in a sense, and it already was happening, but I think he's starting to lose a little bit of, like, the support of the fan base, because everyone's like, well, what are you doing? Do you want to be here? And to his credit, Patrick Mahomes says he talks to him every week, and he confirmed Brown wants to be a Chief. He wants to be here. And I don't know. I just come away sometimes and I'm like, well, if the player wants to be here, then he'd be here.
Right.
Right? This is so simple. Sign the eight. Like, it's Memorial Day weekend. Call around, get an agent, get Veach on the phone, hammer out a long-term contract, and come to voluntary workouts next week. And so, I don't know. It's a very odd situation. And because there's no real precedent, even around the league, for this, I don't really even know what to make of it at this point.
Is there a word on the street that, like, maybe this guy's just never happy with anything?
Well, it seems like from videos that have surfaced on social media, he does enjoy playing tennis. So that is making him happy. He's been working out by playing tennis down in Florida. I don't know. He was disgruntled in Baltimore, mm-hmm, with the role they wanted for him. And that was what opened him up to become a Kansas City Chiefs player. He wasn't necessarily perfect all year. He struggled a little bit at the beginning, sort of settled in, and it's become a tough situation because he's sort of leaked out through the mentor and Mike Garafolo of NFL Network that he wants to be paid like the best left tackle in the league. And I can't see the Chiefs doing that. So it's a very weird situation. And I think the longer it goes, the more interesting it becomes. I mean, I had mentioned there is this break glass option of moving the player in the contract if you can find someone that wants to give him that type of money. But I just think the Chiefs can't even talk to the player right now because it seems like he wants someone to represent him, but won't get that guy or gal, I guess, you know, they're of course female agents, to represent him and start having these talks. So I don't know what's going to happen with this. And it's such an important position. So the sooner that it can be resolved, the better.
All right, about EB. tell me your thoughts on the LeSean McCoy versus Eric Bieniemy war.
I don't know. I think CDOT says this a lot, and not that we always want to listen to CDOT for any kind of advice, but when you have two sides of something, the truth is usually, you know, somewhere in the middle. And I do think LeSean McCoy was disgruntled here. I think he wanted a bigger role. I think it was likely that Eric Bieniemy told him, look, man, you're not the best running back on the roster. There were the fumbling issues, and I'm sure McCoy didn't like that. And again, now is after his career airing some grievances. Now, I also think there's probably some truth to the other side. This is a different type of league now than it was 10 to 15 years ago. And we've seen a training camp. If you've ever been up to training camp, you know how Eric Bieniemy operates. He is not afraid to isolate a player and tell him how he feels in front of not only the other players, but the 4,000 or 5,000 fans in attendance. And not every player is going to like that. And I think we got to remember in these type of situations that, look, the NFL is this small fraternity. And so if there's any kind of rumblings of, well, this coach has problems getting through to this type of player, there are so many options. As Andy Reid always says, there's 32 of these jobs in the world. And so if there's one, you know, if you want to call it a red flag, the next NFL owner is going to move on to the dozens of other candidates that are out there that might not have a particular red flag. So
yeah.
I think McCoy was disgruntled. I think there's probably some truth to the fact that not every player likes what you would call a hard ass type of coach, especially when you're a grown man.
Yeah. Especially one that's old and fumbles a lot.
That's right. I think that the truth probably lies somewhere in between. Yeah.
And then don't bring it up in the last minute of a podcast or extend the podcast. You don't have to cut off the podcast. He could have had plenty of time to expound on his thoughts if he chose to.
Yeah. What I will say, and you guys know this well, and you know, I know Josh, you're around him every game in a sense. What Andy Reid said in the press conference is as cold as Andy Reid is ever going to get.
But in such a nice way. In the absolute nicest way.
I'm a McCoy fan, but look, man, you were old and you were washed,
in other words. Yeah.
And that's as far as Andy Reid's going to go. And so you could tell that him sort of airing that publicly, Andy was not a fan of. And in Andy's standards, he made sure that he knew that. So,
Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, thanks for the time today. Hang on a minute. Don't say anything to your phone because we're still working on how to how to hang up the phone on you.
And let's go Rangers.
Thanks for dropping by, bud.
If I can't hang up, I'll just do the rest of the show. I got an hour and 15 in me. Just let me know.
Wow, we may
take this button with the X gets him off.
Okay,
let's try.
See it right there.